Chapter 19 Mirel. Jen's mind raced as he followed the First Mother and her guard Cadean through ornate halls fashioned from the same marble used in the Great Hall. Towering arches of stone, 30 feet high, rose into the darkness above him. The hall sloped downward, and they came to a heavy iron gate that opened to a spiral ramp descending deep below the ground. The ramp terminated onto a landing, where two of the Dark Guard stood at attention before an ornate bridge that spanned the distance between the shard where the Great Hall was built and the small shard where the Shalane lived in her tower. The guards eyed Jen speculatively as he passed, and Jen knew that word of his deed had already spread. Jen guessed the bridge measured 150 feet long. It was made of the same blushing marble, and seeing it hooked between the two shards gave him a real sense of its fragility. If one shard were to move a few feet, the bridge would crumble and send them tumbling into the nothingness between shards.
"There is magic on the bridge," the First Mother explained as they traversed the span. "At the first sign of trouble, it can be destroyed with ease. An additional magic has been placed around the Shalane's complex to counter creatures that can fly. A most unpleasant end awaits anyone or anything that tries to fly across."
At the other end of the bridge, a short hallway ended in wide steps that spilled into a beautiful underground room with a fountain gurgling pleasantly at the centre. The domed roof was painted with a very lifelike representation of the sky, which magically emanated light. All about the circular room grew hearty green plants and vibrant flowers. Finely crafted statues of animals, men, elves and fairies accented the walls from carved recesses. 3 ornate doors, one on each extremity of the room, were guarded by 2 members of the Dark Guard each. They bowed to the First Mother, and then regarded Jen with curiosity. Jen worried that slaying Cormyth might have ruined his chances at becoming a Dark Guard for the Shalane. Perhaps the First Mother, fearing for his life, would send him away. While he had waited for the First Mother to finish mollifying the nobles in the Great Hall, he had seen many murderous glares directed at him from those loyal to the Blessed One. And if any of the stories he used to tell others about nobles were true, he'd have to watch every dark corner and be careful of everything he drank.
"Jen," the First Mother said, stopping and turning toward him, "this is the antechamber of the Shalane. If you did not have the branding placed upon you, you would have died before crossing into this room. There are many secrets here, and in time you will know them all. The first secret, as you now know, is that the tower and buildings above us are not where the Shalane lives. A decoy lives there, and the tower is an excellent perch for observation should we ever come under attack. The Shalanes, past and present, live here, underground. Straight ahead of you is the door to the chambers of the Shalane. It is there that she has spent most of her life, as I did before her. Passing through that door requires an additional brand that you do not have. To the right is the entrance to the Tomb of Shalanes, a place of honour for 13 women, bred through the years for beauty and other qualities. The door to the left is where the Shalanes of the past live, where I live. I and all the Shalanes before me have lived there after giving birth to their first daughter. Come."
The Dark Guard opened the door for the First Mother, and to Jen's surprise he found himself in a maze.
"There is a similar maze behind the Shalane's door," the First Mother explained, "though it is larger and more complicated than this one. Their purpose is obvious to you, I'm sure. Follow closely. A misstep in the maze is deadly."
As they negotiated a confusing series of twists and turns, Jen spotted a variety of nasty traps scattered about, pits, spikes, and other machinations of death. Runes ran along the walls, hinting at unseen magical protections. The maze terminated in a short, well-appointed hallway with red carpets and marble walls that arched to a point. Gold ran along the edges of the arch's ribs, a thread bursting forth to filigree the white walls with patterns of leaves and flowers. A polished oak door waited at the end, a smaller door to the right.
"Cadean? Remain at my door while I talk with this young man. You can sleep when we're done."
Cadean furrowed his eyebrows.
"I'm sorry, milady, I cannot leave you alone with a man, especially an armed one."
The First Mother smiled, obviously expecting this.
"Are you afraid I might seduce Jen Cadean?" she teased, grinning mischievously.
"No,"
Cadean stammered. "But he is a trained killer and not well known. I could not bear it if you should come to harm because of my negligence."
"Cadean," the First Mother entreated affectionately, touching his arm, "be at peace. I know my business. Jen has saved the honour of this house tonight, and I will speak with him alone if I wish it. There is no death for me in his eyes or upon his sword. Now come, Jen. In we go."
Cadean started to object as the First Mother opened the door and ushered Jen in. But the old soldier bit back his words and turned to the vigil he had kept for many long years. The First Mother's chamber was immense, and Jen took a moment to absorb it all. Only the finest appointments were deemed worthy enough for the First Mother, and the amount of wealth in gems and precious metals present in the room would have fed Tell for years. There were golden chalices, gem-encrusted chairs, gold trimming along the walls and floors creating elegant patterns, and artworks of silver embedded into the mantle of the fireplace. Brightly coloured tapestries depicting the lives of the rich and poor lined the walls, while thick, woven carpets lay about the marble floor under the couches, the desk, and in front of the fireplace. Several closed doors hinted at even more rooms beyond. Only the fire illuminated the room, casting wild shadows and throwing off an orange light that was bent and reflected by the jewels and metals. Jen thought the First Mother would light candles, but instead she motioned him over to the rug in front of the fire and indicated he should sit upon it. Jen unbuckled his hilt and placed his sword upon the mantel. He sat cross-legged on the rug, which proved to be quite soft under his hand. The First Mother entered another room for a few minutes, and when she returned, she was wearing a loose-fitting gown. While Jen watched, she took several pins out of her blonde hair, letting it fall loosely about her shoulders. In the light of the great hall, Jen had thought that the First Mother must have been a woman of surpassing beauty in her youth. In the firelight, he knew it. Desire rose within him, for the First Mother was not old, and he speculated that many men, Cadean included, held a secret passion for her. But because of his training, the feelings rising within him simply slid off into nothingness, leaving him empty and in control. He wondered at her purpose.
"What are you thinking?" she asked as she sat down in front of him, legs crossed like his. "Is this a bit less formal than you were expecting?"
"Yes," Jen replied, "but I was thinking that if the Shalane is your daughter, then she must be beautiful indeed."
The First Mother's face grew grave at the compliment.
"Beautiful to the point of being dangerous, I fear. Many generations ago, after the prophecy came, the church sought a beautiful man and woman, that they might have a daughter of surpassing beauty, so that when the time came she might bear a son without flaw to be the temple of Eldaloth on his return. For generations this has continued, each Shalane bearing a daughter who, on her 17th birthday, was then coupled with the fairest man that could be found. Each new Shalane was more beautiful, more alluring, and more enchanted. To be frank, Jen, my daughter's beauty would drive any man who saw it into a mad passion. I doubt there is a man on Kihol powerful enough to look upon her naked face and resist his impulses to take her for his own."
"Is her beauty natural or enchanted?" Jen asked.
"Both," the First Mother answered, pleased with the question. "The Shalanes were never bred or trained for magical talent. From the 8th Shalane onward, something unexpected happened, and every Shalane thereafter was irresistible to all but those of the strongest will. Some magicians and church scholars say that the beauty simply elevated to a divine, godlike in nature, and this was considered a sign that the advent of the Blessed One was near. I think that if my daughter were to bear a female child, that not even the cloak and veil would be enough to hide her beauty. It would radiate from her and touch all who came near."
"But what of you?" Jen asked. "I mean no offence, but you are a Shalane and you walk unveiled. Does the allure fail at a certain age?"
"Not at an age. At the birth of a Shalane's first child, some of the allurement is dimmed. Make no mistake, though, I wore the veil for many years after my daughter's birth, because men would start into a frenzy at the sight of me. You have probably noticed that I do not look my age, another quality bred into the Shalanes. Do you doubt that I could seduce you, as the good Cadean fears, despite our difference in age?"
The look she gave Jen was enticing and teasing, but there was only emptiness within him.
I would not have that tested, or I fear Cadean would have my head, even if it were your fault.
The First Mother smiled and relaxed her gaze.
You indeed are a marvel, Jen. I can read men easily, but you are a mystery. Does that non-committal, uninterested face of yours ever change?
Jen could hear Torbrand Cairn's counsel in the back of his head.
In a fight, you must be faceless. Every expression is information that aids the enemy. In a face, an opponent can see fear, arrogance, diffidence, cleverness, and dissembling. And if an opponent knows how you feel, he can exploit your emotion and kill you with it.
Forgive me, Your Grace. It is my training that makes me so. And that is more to the point of our visit, Jen. You mentioned that Cadean would have your head, when the simple truth is that there isn't one man that walks and breathes air, save maybe Torbrand Cairn himself, that could beat you in a duel. It is obvious to me now that you did not fight to the fullest of your abilities in the trials, and perhaps wisely so. Before we came here, I spoke briefly with Regent Ogbeth and Cadean. According to them, you are unbelievably good. How you became so is no doubt one question that you will be asked a great deal, but not now. What I really want to know is why. Why did you confront the Blessed One for my daughter's honour? You've placed yourself in a great deal of danger.
He does not honour her, as I said in the hall. He was wrong to attempt what he did.
Men have been killed for saying less. Yes, what he was trying to do was wrong, even in Ogmir, but that still doesn't explain why you acted. Jaren loves the Shalane like his own daughter, and he knew it was wrong, yet said and did nothing until after you raised your challenge. Dacen is an honourable man. He knew it was wrong, too, and instead he acquiesced to the will of the Blessed One. There were aristocrats and nobles in the assembly sworn to protect the honour of this house, and some of them are now howling for your blood. So why you, Jen? Here in Rugoth you are a foreigner, and in your own land a commoner of the lowest station. You owe my house and my honour nothing. And then there is me, Jen.
The First Mother's voice wavered.
She is my daughter, the most beloved of my heart, and I stood there and watched her be manhandled away and did nothing. So why, Jen, did you stand when all others, when I, failed?
Because I thought I had the means to do so. And she is worth the attempt, Jen said gently, discerning the First Mother's love for her daughter. I was raised as you were, to believe the Blessed One was to be revered and obeyed above all. At the dawn of each day I chant my thanks to Eldaloth for the Hallric's coming, and pledge my soul to his service. But I ask you this, what was his coming to bring? What was the Blessed One to manifest? Love, justice, honour, sacrifice and benevolence. When I saw him debark this afternoon, I suspected he lacked every one of those qualities. Watching tonight, I knew it. Do you agree?
I do,
the First Mother answered. Jen fell silent, watching her face, and the First Mother considered what he said thoughtfully.
Are you saying the Blessed One is not the Blessed One?
Jen shrugged.
That is not for me to say. I must trust that he is, since he bears the sign. Then I am at a loss. Why defy him, then? Shatan will be your king one day, and I do not think he will forget the sting you gave him tonight. You say she is worth your efforts, but how do you know? You cannot know my daughter and have not seen her unveiled, so I do not believe you defended her out of love or passion. Though I do recall that Aethrys said he sensed you had a devotion to her that was different from the others. Why?
First Mother, I may not know her intimately as you do, but I have witnessed her care for those most wouldn't waste a glance upon. She has the qualities I always thought she would. What is honourable must be defended, regardless of where it is found. Baseness must be despised and fought wherever it is found, even if in the Blessed One.
Do you condemn me?
Indeed, condemn all of us who work to protect the Shalane for our failure?
The question was asked with such earnestness that Jen knew his answer was important to her.
I am in no position to judge, and have no right to condemn anyone.
The First Mother laughed sardonically.
Forgive me, Jen, but you must see that it is ridiculous for you to say so.
You judged the most powerful man alive this evening, found him wanting and shamed him in front of the better part of the ruling class from two nations. Her face turned serious, and her voice filled with intensity. From the moment you issued your challenge, I have been burned with a guilt and self-loathing you cannot understand. I love her more than anyone. I am her mother, and a stranger from another land has to do what I should have done because I was too weak to do it. I could have raised the challenge. Jaren would have supported me just as he supported you, and he would have fought for her. But I did nothing. Tonight you proved yourself my better, and in sitting above me, you have the position and the right to judge. Please, Your Grace, Jen soothed, you make too much of what I have done. There is only one thing that matters, and one thing on which you and I should fix our hopes, that after tonight there is no one that truly loves the Shalane, or who cherishes honour, that will allow the shame that almost came upon your house to ever happen again. I know you will not. Do I miss my mark?
You do not,
the First Mother replied resolutely. She stared at Jen for several moments in silence, and Jen looked her in the eye, not sure what to expect. There was a fire and resolve in her countenance, and Jen knew he had acquired an ally.
Such wisdom and skill for one so young, she said finally. I would keep you around as my own protector just for the conversation if I didn't have other plans for you.
No doubt the Blessed One would take great offence if you name me your protector. The First Mother grinned.
And no doubt he will take even greater offence when I name you the Shalane's protector, replacing Dayson.
Jen's mind reeled. Great offence indeed.
Ah, the First Mother said mirthfully, I believe I have figured out how to read one of your emotions. Whereas most men raise their eyebrows or exclaim or stammer when surprised, you simply remain silent for a short period of time.
What will become of Dayson? Jen inquired, noting the First Mother's observation.
After tonight, Dayson will no longer have the honour of the protectorship, though he will continue to serve with the Dark Guard. While it would mean my death were Shatan to find out, I want the men who guard my daughter to hold her in higher honour than him. And I know you to be one of them, as Jaren is now. The Shalane would not like losing Dayson, for he is a court-bred man who is very gregarious and entertaining, but it must be done. I can see that Dayson has passion for her, and while the brand would keep him from ever hurting her, it would still be dangerous if he were to win her heart. For I can see she is fond of him as well. I have purposefully tempted you this night in subtle ways that would have at least interested most men, and you have not faltered. I think you will not let your passions get the better of you under any circumstance.
Jen realized he was being silent and spoke up quickly. It would be my honour to serve her, but is it not a risk? You said I am in danger, and from the looks directed at me this evening, I believe you. The Shalane may be placed in danger if I am near her.
That is true. But I also want to protect you. There is no place on Kihal safer than this shard and the chambers of the Shalane. I will make you her knight protector. That way Jaren will most likely accompany her when she is called to perform duties outside the chambers. I know there are risks. You have put yourself between the Ha'ulric and his bride. But if any man in this kingdom can protect my daughter, it is the man who chopped down Cormith in my hall this night. If you are the target of Shatan's ire, then your plight will be the plight of many ere long.
Though Jen didn't show it, a brief surge of excitement at his good fortune surged through him. The First Mother continued.
I trust that you will disregard the idiotic Ogmerian notion that the Shalane is now in your possession.
Of course I will. It is ridiculous.
Good. Now I will not rule out using it to our advantage if need be. There is one thing, however, that I hope you are intelligent enough to realize, the First Mother continued. Twice I have seen you use the arrogance and ignorance of your opponent to defeat him. You must know that you will no longer have this advantage. As we speak, tales of your deeds and your description are being carried from Mikmir and throughout Rugoth. From Rugoth it will go to all nations. In 2 days' time you have become a legend in your own right, and by the time the tales reach Ogmir and your homeland, you will be 10 feet tall and breathing fire. The next opponent you face will know to fear and respect you, and as your fame grows, you too will have to fight against arrogance.
I thank you for your wisdom, Your Grace.
Being in the presence of the Shalane will no doubt keep me humble.
Perhaps, Jen, the First Mother answered. But do not forget that under that veil is a young woman who, for all her beauty and importance, is flawed and now fearful. Her future marriage to the Blessed One brings her no joy, as it once did, and as much as you need protect her from evils of flesh and blood, you must also inspire in her the strength to face the unwanted in the name of duty. Will you swear to me, as one who honours her as I do, that you will do this?
I swear it. I will be the Shalane's protector if she will have me.
It was more than Jen could have hoped for when he first set foot, dirty and ragged, on the tournament field. The First Mother smiled.
She has no choice. By tradition, the First Mother chooses who will be her daughter's closest guards. You must pass through another ceremony and receive an additional branding. We will take care of it quietly tomorrow morning so that you may begin your duties in the evening. Tonight you will sleep in spare quarters next to Cadean's. Tomorrow you will have your own quarters in the chamber of the Shalane.
I thank you, First Mother.
You are most deservedly welcome. And call me Mirel when we are outside of court. It is the name I took after birthing the Shalane, for only one may have the title.
The First Mother shifted and reclined upon her side on the rug, resting her head upon her hand and gazing into the fire. A strand of blonde hair fell over her now pensive face, and Jen was surprised at the sudden shift in mood. It was as if by disclosing her name to him, she suddenly changed from the First Mother to a long-time friend.
You know, Jen, she said thoughtfully, it is somewhat ironic that we come to this position tonight. Do you even know why Shaddan Cairn attacked your homeland?
I do not. I've heard rumours that King Filangrail broke the Fidelium. I've been meaning to ask Gerund Kildan more closely about it.
He did break the Fidelium. Let me enlighten you so that, perhaps, you can take greater satisfaction in your actions this evening. Last summer, the leaders of the three nations met together in Ogmir for their first glimpse of the Blessed One, and to arrange for the eventual transfer of power into his hands after his marriage to my daughter. We arrived expecting Shaddan to be well-bred, intelligent, and the very definition of noble, even if after an Ogmerian fashion. At the very least, as the son of Torbrand Cairn, we thought he would be a fine swordsman. Imagine our horror when a pudgy, spoiled brat made his appearance and treated us worse than his hounds. At first we thought it a joke, but with some subtle investigation we learned that Shaddan's caretakers had pampered him and deferred to him his entire life. His father had not even been permitted any part in raising him, though that isn't necessarily undesirable either. You must understand, however, that while it frightened me to think Shaddan should ever hold the power that he will in a short time, my first thoughts were for my Shalane, the one who would be forced to marry him. While all young ladies dream of marrying someone powerful, noble and brave, the Shalanes have long thought that they were guaranteed it by prophetic dictum. Since first meeting my future son-in-law, I felt sick in my heart. As we stayed in Ogmir, we learned that Shaddan was lecherous, and the primary victim of his lechery, I am sorry to say, was your kingdom. Your young King Omric Filangrail brought along his lovely wife, Karen, to meet the Blessed One. Shaddan's lust for her was immediately obvious. While Omric is not a strong man or a gifted leader, he loves his Karen dearly, and when Shaddan made a play for his wife, he stormed out of the country, vowing he would never turn his kingdom over to Shaddan. The rest you may guess. Torbrand, as we speak, is taking Tolnor by force, something he revels in.
I know it well, Jen said, a flood of unwanted memories dampening his mood.
I am sorry to remind you of it, Mirel continued, but it seems more than just coincidence to me that you were driven out of your land by a war started over the honour of a woman, and from there you come and save the honour of another from the very person who started the war in the first place. Though you may not see it, you could consider your victory tonight a small one for your homeland, though I doubt such a thought will dull the pain of your losses.
No, it wouldn't. What I did tonight I did for the Shalane alone. What I have lost I can never truly avenge, though this service has given me hope that I can do some good with my life, which is no small comfort. Again I thank you for it.
The First Mother smiled warmly at him, and again Jen fought away the inevitable attraction. She pulled an errant strand of hair behind her ear.
If you ever need an ear, Jen, your voice will always be a welcome one to me. I owe you a meal, and I intend to keep my promise of an invitation.
A thought sprang to Jen's mind. You never told her about Shatan's character after you returned, did you?
You are perceptive, the First Mother said. How did you know?
The way she acted at the pier.
I'm surprised you could deduce that from such a short encounter. I did not tell her. I wanted to allow Shalane as much happiness as I could before Shatan tore her hopes apart. I know you will have little opportunity, but if you can, get to know my daughter. The next few weeks will be difficult for her despite, and partly because of your help tonight, and she could use your strength.
It will be my pleasure to know you both.
And we you. Now, I think you should get some rest. I have no doubt Cadean is more than a little worried at the length of our conversation, and will barge through the door any second.
The First Mother rose, and Jen followed suit. He retrieved his sword from the mantle, feeling the warm hilt before buckling it on. Morel drew near and embraced him.
Thank you, Jen, she said, kissing his cheek. For everything.
Jen inclined his head to the First Mother. Leading him to the door, she said,
We must teach you to smile, or I fear you will drive my daughter mad. Oh yes, and don't expect to be a commoner or a citizen of Tolnor much longer. Cadean?
The door opened. Cadean raised his eyebrows upon seeing the First Mother's informal attire.
Open the spare quarters for him, Cadean. And get that stupid look off your face. We just had a nice little talk.